Long before the church had pulpits and play spaces, she had dinner tables and kitchens. Every meal mattered, and Jesus pointed the way. Everyone was welcome when Jesus sat at a table. From VIPs to traders, from religious leaders to shame-filled sinners, from those in the margins to those at the top, he ate with them all. And every meal became a peek into his new ways of living and new ways of loving. After all, why did Jesus come? He came to serve, to give his life, and to seek and save the lost. And how did he come? He came eating and drinking. What we learn at the table with Jesus is what we need for our tables today.
Hey there, and welcome to Calvary Online. My name is Sean, and I am the online gathering pastor. We are delighted that you have chosen to spend some time with us this weekend. So wherever you are joining in from, you are so welcome. Well, at Calvary, we are excited to be on mission to catalyze an epic release of Jesus apprentices who are connecting to Christ, to community, and to calling. And part of that calling is loving our neighbors. In fact, this is a CWOW weekend at Calvary. CWOW stands for Church Without Walls. So my first question to you today is, how are you stepping into that this weekend? What are you doing to pray for, to love, or to invite someone into your space this weekend? Well, today I'm joined with my friend Scott Letty. Scott's one of the pastors at Calvary Harvest Fields, and we wanted to have a conversation with you today about the importance of listening to others, something that we believe is so key as we engage with those around us. And we've been going through a teaching series at Calvary titled At the Table with Jesus, and there have been so many great sermons in the series. And in fact, last weekend, Pastor Jonathan shared a message about the importance of eating together and being at the table. And he gave us two very clear challenges last weekend, one being to invite a neighbor or a friend into your space to meet around your table, and the other to invite someone from your church or your faith community. So I'm curious how that's going for you. Scott, what's it look like for you and Thea this summer as you've invited others into your space?
Yeah, we really enjoy hosting. That's something that we've enjoyed doing for probably the majority of the time that we've been at Calvary. And we've found it to be a really natural bridge from inviting people from Calvary. Sometimes, you know, people that we know well, sometimes people that we've just met, but inviting them into the home and kind of getting comfortable having people over who you don't know well. And that was kind of a real natural bridge for us as we transitioned more into Front Yard Mission and inviting neighbors over who we'd met but didn't necessarily know well. And so it was kind of a fertile ground of practice, but also just really good relationships coming from just eating meals together around the table.
Right. That's awesome. Yeah. And we're seeing such good traction. Tara and I are in our Front Yard Mission, as well as inviting others in from Calvary to have a meal with us. Well, I mentioned already, we're going to talk about really the art of listening. And recently at a staff meeting, you spent some time sharing a devotional and some tips about the importance of listening to others as we engage in conversations with them. And we thought it would be really helpful if you could share some of that with us today and with our listeners. And maybe there's something that can come out of this that could really help all of us as we engage with those around us. But before we dive into that, I'd just like to spend a moment and just pray over our time together.
Yeah, awesome.
God, thanks for your incredible love for us. Thanks for the opportunity that Scott and I can be outdoors here today. We just ask your blessing upon this time that we have together. Would you open up each of our ears right now as we listen in to this topic, to this conversation, and the importance of listening to the people that we engage with. So would you go before us right now, for it's in your great name we pray. Amen. So share with us, Scott.
Yeah, so you know, I kind of opened up my devotional with the staff talking about a scripture that I'd read in the Gospel of Luke. It was found in Luke 17:10. That's kind of the key verse out of the story that stuck out to me. But it was kind of Jesus talking about having a servant heart, a servant mindset. And he says that even after you get done serving, after you get done doing everything that our Lord, our Master has asked us to do, told us to do, our heart should be, I'm just a humble servant. I've only done my duty. And that kind of phrase, you know, I'm just a humble servant. All I've done is my duty. I you know, that just kind of has been stuck in my mind and my heart, bouncing around for the last couple well, I was going to say weeks, but probably months now. And so that had been kind of in there, and just even thinking through, like, what exactly does that mean? How do you have that kind of a mindset? You know, it's like, it's one thing to be, you know, a husband or a father or a pastor who at times chooses to serve, mm-hmm. you know, because at times I might just choose not to serve
yep.
because it's not beneficial to me, or I've got something else that feels more important, versus seeing myself as a servant, because a servant serves. You know, so I see myself as a servant who's a husband, or as a servant who's a dad, or as a servant who's a pastor, and just kind of wrestling around between those two dichotomies and the position of the heart between the two. And so I kind of had all that bounce around in my head. And then I had a book that I'd picked up quite a while back from Heather Holloman. She's a professor at Penn State. She'd come to Calvary Harvest Fields to talk at a FYM All-In event that we'd been doing. And she had a new book called The Six Conversations. And it was all about basically how to have a warm connection, a loving conversation with somebody. What's kind of the building blocks that have to be there in order to do that? And as I was reading through the book, I came across this line that she shared, where basically she kind of had this shift where she started seeing the conversation she was having with other people as an opportunity to serve them.
I love that.
And so I think it stood out to me because I'd already had that idea of a servant, what's it look like to be a servant, and all that kind of stuff already bounced around in my mind. So when I read that, I just kind of thought, oh my goodness, like how many conversations do I have in a day or in a week? You know, both with, you know, maybe people that I'm working with, family members, friends, people around my community and my neighborhood. And then kind of asking myself, like, well, how many of those conversations, or what percentage? So say I have 30 in a week, which is probably low, but say I have 30 a week, what percentage of those conversations do I look at as an opportunity to serve the person I'm talking with?
Yep.
And you know, I'm not a mathematician. I'm not necessarily great with numbers, but I know enough to know, like, that's a pretty low percentage,
yeah.
at least for me.
Yeah.
And so just kind of thinking through this correlation between good, healthy conversations, warm connections, and serving the other person was just kind of a new concept to me. And so as I was kind of thinking about that and thinking about opportunities that I have around my neighborhood, especially doing Front Yard Mission, especially, you know, I mean, part of the reason why you invite people around your table, like Jonathan was talking about, the reason why you have a meal, share a meal together, invite people into your space, is so that you can have conversation.
Sure.
You know, so it's like, well, if that's the reason I'm inviting you over, is to have conversation, well, then it makes sense to me to lean into how do we have the best conversations that we can have? How do I make you feel genuinely seen and loved and appreciated and all
good.
That kind of stuff? And so, yeah, so that was kind of the gist of what I was thinking about, wrestling through, and just kind of giving myself a little bit of a challenge, and maybe the staff a little bit of a challenge,
yeah.
of let's try to start shifting towards seeing conversations as opportunities to serve the people, you know, that we're conversing with.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, and I got to be honest. I mean, I think you pointed out something about distractions today. We're all this culture. We're very distracted by our devices.
Yeah.
You were talking about the Apple Watch.
Yeah, the first time I was sitting down with somebody, I think we were having lunch, and they had an Apple Watch on, and we're having the conversation, and I'm like partway through saying something, and they just kind of look at their watch and then look back at me, and I noticed, but I just kind of kept going. A couple minutes later, they look at their watch, look back at me, and I'm like, hey, if we need to be done, like if you have something you need to do, we can get going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh no, I just had a text coming in. I was just checking my text, and I was thinking to myself, like, oh my gosh, like this is really uncomfortable for me because it just feels like basically like, hey, let's wrap this up. And I'm like, well, how many times have I done that to somebody else with my cell phone or, you know, some other distraction? So yeah, it's definitely prevalent.
Yeah. So thinking about our connections with those around us, whether it's a neighbor or a coworker, how, you know, does she give some tips in her book about how to remove the distractions so that when we're talking with someone, we can really be locked in on that conversation?
Yeah, yeah, well, definitely. And one of the main things which we've just touched on is, you know, studies show that even having your cell phone visible,
yep.
like if it's just sitting on the table, even if it's on silent, you know, and even if you're not expecting a call or a text, just having the cell phone visible to the other person has a tendency of just kind of limiting where that conversation can go, or maybe, you know, more accurately, like how deep that conversation is likely to go. Because basically you're communicating to each other that if something were to come up, you know, if I were to get a call, if I were to get a text, I would, you know, I'm keeping
respond.
My phone right there because this is going to be more important than this.
Yeah.
And just having that subconsciously, that message kind of given, it just kind of puts a lid on how deep, where this conversation can go, how impactful, how relational, all that kind of stuff. And she also gives some really the title of the book is The Six Conversations. And she talks about, six different areas of conversation, from like spiritual, social, volitional, emotional, physical, and just kind of like, hey, there's these six main areas of people's lives. Ask questions from all the different areas, because you might start asking, about spiritual things, and the person is giving you one word answers, and it's like, all right, we'll pivot. You know, start asking some emotional, start asking some volitional, start asking some social, and all of a sudden you'll start finding the conversational sweet spot with that individual person. And it's really neat, because it's like, well, it's not the your conversation that you're going to be passionate about might not be the same as me or my neighbor. And so it's like every conversation becomes a little bit of a discovery, a little bit of an adventure, but you definitely have to be listening.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to miss the cues if you're not.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I got to think there's other ways that we need to remove distractions. I think, especially with our devices and our phones, when we're setting them out there face up during a meeting, we're already saying if something else comes up, it might be a little bit more important than the conversation we're having. So I think it's a great idea to just set that aside, turn it upside down, turn it off, remove that distraction. But there's other distractions.
Well, sure.
Children can, come into this at times if you're trying to have a real conversation with somebody. So there, I think the importance of one-on-one conversations are really good. And at Calvary, we talk a lot about one to few.
Right.
And I think the less people we can have together at one time, the easier it is to stay focused on that specific conversation. The other thing is, we talk about spiritual things being part of that list. I don't know that we would start out with a spiritual conversation, especially if we don't know that the person we're engaging with is a person of faith or not. So starting out with something else could be really helpful in that situation.
Yeah. And I honestly think, kind of going back to the servant, the idea of having a servant mindset, a servant heart, is what is your heart going into the conversation? Because a lot of times we'll have a conversation because there's information I'm trying to get out of you,
right,
or there's an answer I'm looking for, I think you have it, or there's something I need you to do, I'm trying to convince you to do it.
Yep.
And so it's kind of like, well, that's not the mindset of a servant. And it's not to say those conversations, they have to happen. Like sometimes you have to have a conversation where it's just like, hey, there's an answer, I need information, we have to be able to exchange that information. But it's just, is that the prevalent kind of undercurrent of the conversations? Or, you're busy, because a lot of times, let's be honest, conversations, they present themselves as interruptions.
Right.
I wasn't expecting my neighbor to pop over the fence and ask me about my day.
Exactly.
I'm in the middle of mowing my yard or whatever. And so it's kind of like, again, if you don't have that servant heart, then it's kind of like, well, how do I wrap this conversation up so I can get back to doing what it was? So just the busyness of life can be the distraction where it's like, I feel like I have too much to do to really enter into this conversation and allow it to be something where I'm looking for an opportunity to serve you, because that takes time. That takes focus, that takes intentionality, whereas like I'll listen just enough to be able to say, oh, get out of here, sorry to hear that, let's wrap this up. So that's another way of I think kind of handling some of the distractions that could, I don't know.
But there is a difference between listening and hearing.
Oh yeah.
And it's huge. And I think about the servant piece of it, and as Christians, we're to model the life of Jesus. We're to be more like Jesus. We should each have that desire to do that. And I think about how Jesus demonstrated this firsthand in all of his conversations, but he humbled himself.
Yeah.
He took on the form of a servant. He came to serve and not be served, and that's who we are to also represent. So she gives a couple of simple tips in her book. I think you said there was four tips that she had.
I'll actually open this up just to make sure I don't mess these up at all, but it's kind of, I think it's the way she presents them is kind of four mindsets.
Okay.
You might even be able to say kind of heart sets, heart positions, to try to have as you enter into a conversation that will really ratchet up the likelihood of having a warm connection, having a conversation where the other person walks away and just kind of says like, man, that was a really good conversation.
Yeah.
There's, it's really interesting. Like over and over again in her book, she makes the comment of like, people are like, oh, that was such a good question. Let me think about that. Or, oh, I love talking to you. And it's because she has, you know, kind of cultivated these things. And it takes practice. I'll say,
I was going to say, it's a discipline.
Yeah, like I haven't completely finished the book. I'll probably be finishing up in the next day or two. I've been starting to try to be a little bit more intentional. But, man, like just yesterday I caught myself. Somebody, we're having a conversation one-on-one. It was a good conversation. I caught myself talking over the person instead of just letting them finish their thought because I kind of had something. I was like, oh, I think this will be helpful. And it's like, well, just listen and then share your thought. Like, right. let the poor person finish their sentence, you know? So it does not come naturally, you know, maybe more so to other people than me. But yeah, it takes practice. So I don't share these as an expert. I share these as somebody in training. But the first one was be curious. So it's like enter into the conversation with a genuine curiosity about the other person. Because, you know, you might know some about their background or what they do already or whatever, but it's like there's so much about, you know, you and I, we've known each other for a while. There's so much about your story I still don't know. There's so much room for genuine curiosity. So be curious. You know, the second one was believe the best. So don't go into it thinking like, well, I have an idea how this person votes or how this person stands politically or the theological position they take here or whatever. And you know, just go in believing the best about the other person because you're going to be way more open to listening.
Yep.
You're not going to be forming arguments and rebuttals in your mind as you listen to what they say, because it's not about winning an argument. It's not about proving a point. It's not about convincing them over to your side of whatever it is that you're talking about. It's just kind of like, I'm just going to believe the best about you. Another one was express concern. Let them know that you're actually like the reason why I'm having this conversation, even the reason why I'm asking these questions. It's not nosiness. I'm not looking for something to gossip. Like, I'm genuinely interested and concerned about about your life. And then the other one was just share your life. So, you know, don't just be looking for them to open up their heart if you're not willing to kind of do the same. So you got to be willing to maybe even lead the way a little bit and say like, well, here's what's really going on in my life. Here's what I'm struggling with. Here's what, you know, a point of stress, I'm having trouble sleeping, you know, and that kind of thing. And as you do that, it just kind of opens up the opportunity for them to respond in kind.
Yeah. So you said you're not an expert at these yet.
Yeah.
So I got to wonder, is there one of the four that really surfaces for you? Like, oh, I need to be more intentional in this area and it's going to help me.
Yeah, that's good. I think the be curious one comes kind of naturally to me. I'm, you know, when you talk strength finder stuff like that, I'm a learner. So I do tend to have a little bit of a natural, like, hey, I'm actually interested and curious about, you know, about your life, that sort of a thing. And I think at times it would maybe be the being open, you know, sharing my life, because that's you know, without even realizing it, sometimes I think you're just guarded.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the more you open up, the more potential there is for the person to use what you're sharing to, you know, kind of against you or to hurt you or whatever. So I think maybe sometimes that. But yeah, I guess even, you know, I was just thinking about that conversation yesterday, just talking over the guy. So not really listening, not being curious enough to let him finish what he's saying. So yeah.
Yeah.
There might be more than one.
Well, but that connects to vulnerability, and you're being vulnerable right now. And I got to imagine that all of us and all of our listeners are going to struggle in some of those areas, but we need to be intentional about trying to form these disciplines in our life as we're engaging with those around us. This has been so helpful.
Well, I was just going to say, she made the comment that a loving conversation is countercultural.
Mm.
She's like, most conversations that are happening today, it's debate, it's divisiveness.
Wow.
And so she's like, just simply having a conversation where you're trying to practice these things is countercultural. But because it's countercultural, extend grace to yourself.
Yeah, sure.
Because like, it's not easy to go against the culture that you're just used to living in. So it's like, we have a way of conversing. I think there's a better way. But like, we got to give ourselves grace because we're 100% not changing the culture of the way we converse in a day.
Right.
It just isn't going to happen.
Yeah. So good. Hey, would you mind just praying over our listeners, our viewers today, and we'll wrap up.
All right. Well, Father, thank you so much just for the opportunity to be able to have these conversations. Thank you for the ways that you lead us and guide us. Thank you for your patience with us and just how gracious you are towards us as you just kind of nudge us and lead us towards grace and truth. Lord, just even pray with us, you know, this CWOW weekend, this CWOW Sunday. Lord, we just pray for opportunities this CWOW Sunday and all the ones to come. God, just help us to have our hearts and eyes wide open to the opportunities that you're going to give us to serve our neighbors, not just through action, but in conversation, ways that we can serve them by sharing a word of encouragement, the ways that we can serve them by simply listening, by really listening. And God, I pray that you just help us as your bride, your church, to be countercultural in the way that we have conversations with one another. And we just ask it in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Scott, thanks for sharing with us today.
Thanks, Sean.
So helpful. If you have any questions about anything that was shared today, feel free to reach out to me. We can also put Scott's email address in there at the bottom of your screen as well. Reach out to him if you have any questions. We would love to connect with you. Now we want to encourage you. It's a See Well Weekend. Go and be the church. Hey, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.